Bonjour and au revoir, Monsieur Barnes. Oh, it is a sad day, my friend. A sad, sad day.
I'm assuming that would mean something and goodbye.
Hello and goodbye.
Hello and goodbye.
Bonjour, hello.
Of course.
Au revoir, goodbye.
Keeping with the French theme.
Keeping with the French theme.
Up to the Olympics.
As we hurtle our way towards the Parisian Olympics.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I reckon this would be people excited.
I certainly
about
hope
what
so.
We've got in front of us with the Olympics.
Lee excited. It's French for excited. So for roadies, if you don't know, this episode marks the very last episode recorded in an original South Road Boys studio as Mr. Barnes is being evicted.
Yeah, pretty much. Homeless.
Homeless. The next one will be from some sort of corrugated iron lean-to down the West Coast.
I did suggest that maybe we might do it in a swag.
Swag Buddies. the Swag Buddy podcast.
The Swag Road Boys. No, just not the same.
It's just not.
We could camp on South Road somewhere. Is there a...
Camp Road Boys?
Probably not a spare
That's
block
a
anywhere.
Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Sweaty. I don't think there's many bacon
no,
blocks
I don't think
on
so.
South Road
we
anymore.
Just, we can't really just set up a swag somewhere. And
in the middle island?
We could get an extension cord. We set up on someone's front lawn.
Well,
just get an extension cord from the garage out to the front.
There's a pretty big driveway at number one.
Well, there is.
Yeah.
We could set up in the driveway.
In
if
the
it's
garage.
A, if it's a, I don't even need to do that. If it's a little bit damp, like a bit moist,
yeah.
It's that big marquee.
Perfect.
We could do a sausage sizzle.
Like Bunnings.
Fucking hell, it'd be awesome.
Yes.
We could just set up seats and say to people, if you want to come along, come and watch.
And if you don't?
We'll be one South Road every week.
Go fuck yourselves.
So, certain mum and dad won't mind. Dad would be in bed anyway.
It's after 4:30 in the afternoon, of course he would be.
But yes, the end of the era. This is every episode that we've done, other than I think bar two, that I've been involved in.
That you've been involved
in. I've recorded my audio in some form at this house.
Yeah.
So for the first, 66 or 67 episodes, we did it via Skype.
I thought it was more.
No, it actually wasn't.
Really?
It wasn't
only
that many.
Just over a year and a half.
Yeah. It felt like a long time. It felt like it was like half the time that we've been doing this.
Yeah, but it hasn't.
But it actually, it wasn't at all.
Mm.
It was only in the mid-60s, I believe. So, remember the mid-60s?
The mid-60s. I remember back in the day, mid-60s.
Speaking of,
yes.
Do you think we've now got to a point where we can start to refer to our decades as the 20s? And the 30s and all the rest
of
it.
Oh, like an era's tour of the South Road Boys, like Swifty style.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just dates in general. Because up until now, it's been like the 90s. Then there was the noughties.
Oh, yeah. The noughts, yeah.
And then like the 2010s, we just kind of, what the fuck do you call that?
The teens.
Yeah, but then now we're,
the 20s. Kind
of, now we're in the 20s and we're about to get towards the 30s soon.
Yeah.
Can we start to refer to that decade as back in the 20s?
Oh, yeah, I remember back in the 20s.
I mean, I know it happened a century ago.
Yeah.
So I wonder whether now it wouldn't be weird to talk about, say, if it's 2036.
Yep.
To be able to say, oh, you know, back in the 20s.
Yeah.
You know, we were bloody blah, blah, blah. Or remember back in the 20s when we had COVID?
Yeah.
Like, actually, that was early 20s.
Late teens.
This is late teens, yeah. So I just think it'll get to a point COVID-19 where it won't feel
was
weird.
A fucking big dad giveaway.
Yeah, I know. Fucking COVID. I was suddenly thinking about it the other day. I thought, I reckon that decade reference again could be normalised.
What do you reckon they did? And I don't know anyone who's old enough to answer it. Back in the 1920s, what did they call the aughts? What did they just?
That's a good question.
Did they even have a saying for it? It was just like 15 years ago. Like
probably.
There was no social media. There was no.
There wasn't as much.
Care factor.
Care factor and slang or that kind of thing, I guess.
It was just, that was when times were harder.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was probably, you know, BC, before cars.
Before cars. Maybe.
You know, that's maybe what the marking of the time.
Yeah, I don't know. But Because, I mean, they talk about, you know, like the Depression years and, like, and they'll throw a decade on it or, you know.
Oh, the Great Depression, that was in the 20s.
You know, like the war, you know, was in the 40s and they, like, you know, all those kind of things. So,
well, there was the war, which was the teens, and then there was the Great War.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hang on, was the first one called the Great War? And the next one was just a sequel?
Was the sequel better, do you think?
It depends on who you're going for, I suppose. I mean, speaking of which, fucking roadies, I recommended this TV show to my father-in-law, I reckon.
Oh, wow. Okay. This could be anything.
5 years ago I recommended it because I watched one episode and I went, I bet you he'd like that show. Yep. Now, my father-in-law has just ticked over 70.
Right.
He's a RAF brat. So, mm-hmm. And Roddy's, the story around my voice will become apparent a little bit later on.
He's a bit croaky.
I am a bit croaky and I'm feeling it. So he has a bit of an interest in military and stuff like that. And so there's a show which has been around since, I think, 2015, the mid-teens, The Man in the High Castle.
Oh, yes.
Which is set in an alt universe where Germany won the war.
Yeah, I think World War II. I think we might have discussed it personally together.
Probably.
Only a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but I'd never watched past episode one.
Yeah, I was the same. I think I watched a bit of the first episode, but it wasn't on a streamer then. I think I downloaded an episode using the whole legal channels.
Sure.
And then I kind of started watching it, and then something else came up, and I had to go and do something, and I never went back to it. But I love the whole concept. The
premise. Well, I'm not going to spoil too much. The first season, okay. Second season, ooh, intriguing. Third and fourth, fucking
on. Oh, there's four.
Four seasons.
Okay.
Now, unfortunately, I think it ends at season four. I'm not at the end of season four. Right.
Does it end?
I don't know.
Right.
And I doubt that it will.
I hate because it when that
happens. Because it has the capability of being as expansive as Next Gen or Voyager, where it could go for eternity and you would never know. So the first season is really much about.
Is it set in the 40s?
It's set in a post-World War II world, so late 40s, mid to late 40s. Hitler is aging and the Germans have taken over the east coast of America. And then down the middle of America is no man's land. And then the west coast is the Japanese-occupied United States. Japan also occupies Southeast Asia and Australia. And the Germans also occupy a great deal of Europe and Africa.
Does that mean that in this alternate universe that Darwin got done?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes. Yes, the yellow peril prevailed. Okay. But the thing is, it's all set in the United States, and it's mainly set in New York and California, right? Mm-hmm. San Francisco specifically. And there is a resistance in both camps. So the resistance to the Japanese occupation and the resistance to the Nazi occupation. The problem being is that Hitler is aging and they think he's going to die. And you hear names like Goebbels and all that kind of stuff.
Names that ring a bell.
Ring a bell.
Even if you didn't follow the war.
Mm.
Their names, you'd still go, I know that name.
Fucking I know
that was
name.
An important name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the theory being is that once the Fuhrer leaves, they're just going to decimate the United States and just pull out of there. It's just fucking too much hassle.
Yep.
Because all their armed forces are ex-US military who got captured during the occupation, and it's either become a Nazi or die. That's effectively what it was.
Yep.
But there's this subplot of the Man in the High Castle. And it's all about these films that are getting passed around by the resistance. And these films show the history that you and I know. All this footage of America winning the war, the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima, and the Axis losing and the Allies winning. And it's like, well, what are these? Are they propaganda? Where are they coming from?
Or is it? Or does it even go down the track of, is this timey-wimey stuff? Like, it's
ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, right. Okay,
but
so
you don't get that in the first season. Yep. It's not until second season that they give a sniff of.
Yeah, okay, that's clever.
Parallel.
Because I love when you don't really know.
Yeah.
when you can see that they're maybe heading a direction, but they don't confirm that direction. So I was like, okay, are you leading me there?
Yeah.
Or are you just wanting me to think it's that way and you're going to blindside me and go a different direction?
Well, for the first season, it was quite frustrating because I didn't know what this meant. Like it, and maybe because I'm stupid, like that's entirely a possibility. And so
I've never actually called you stupid.
No, thank you.
Many other names, but never that one.
Perfect, thank you. And so it leads you, and then all of a sudden you come to the assumption that it's dealing with these films are coming from a parallel universe.
Remember spoilers here.
Yeah, and that's the whole where are these films coming from and all that kind of stuff. Okay. And then all of a sudden the people who are in the show have the same realization as you do.
That maybe this isn't how it was meant to be.
Well, no, this is for world number one, but what about world number two? Are there multiple worlds?
Yeah, okay.
Hence the reason why you could have – it's like Quantum Mania, basically. Yep. You can have 1,000 different versions of the exact same story set in the exact same time.
Nice.
It's so good. And there's this beautiful –
what's it on? That's on Paramount or Prime.
Prime. And there's this beautiful story about the Nazis having the Aryan race, and obviously everyone has to be pure, and one of the leaders of the Nazis' son is not genetically perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he might be in a different universe.
Okay, righto.
So there's all of this, and it's the conflict of these are people who knew what it was like to be Americans – and now it's not. And things like the Nazis saying, right, well, let's start knocking down the Statue of Liberty. Let's start it all fresh,
yep.
The new America. So do yourselves a favour, roadies. It's worth persevering past the first season and a half.
It's good to know that, though, because how often do you knock it through a season of a show and you're just like, nah, it's not me, and then find out later on that, you know what, it turns.
Oh, it fucking turns, and it turns well. I am fully invested. Fully invested.
God, I hope it ends well then.
So do I, because season four is just really great writing.
I think they're only like 10 episode seasons too, aren't they? So you don't have to watch
years. Correct. But just genius. Genius. Fucking do yourself a favor. What's been going on in your world, man?
Well, everything for me is getting ready to move.
Mm.
It's like, it's funny, I was going through, I went camping on the weekend because with all the moving and work's flat out and just shit going on everywhere, I thought, you know what, let's go and just stop the brain for a couple of days and sit in front of the fire and have a beer and play some tunes, and because I find that's like meditation for
bit
me.
Of Rod Stewart.
It's fucking beautiful. You know, Rod Stewart, strangely enough.
Yeah.
But I started thinking about a few of the things that actually have happened in this house.
Oh.
Other than the, you know, the seedy things that people don't need to know about.
Like podcasting.
But the pocket. But there's been some fucking funny shit.
Yes.
And some big stuff.
Right.
I mean, even most recently with my birthday.
Yes.
Like, we tried to burn the house down with the spit.
Almost.
Like, the spit went up.
It was.
It flamed like the human torch.
Yes.
It's funny to look back on now.
And go, but, it didn't burn down.
But it could have been worse.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I purposefully, to my personal credit,
yes.
Once it was flaming, I said, I'm not touching it because I've had too much to drink and I'm going to end up – I knew in my brain that I could easily do something and suddenly you've got fucking oil on your skin and next thing you know, you're in hospital.
You're Mickey Louder.
I wasn't the person that was capable enough to do that.
Yes.
So I was impressed in myself, the fact that I was aware of that, to say, you know what, I'm not the man on this.
I'm impressed that I did nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. I actually was.
Good for you.
Because how often though? You have situations where someone will jump in quickly to fix a problem and fuck it up even more.
And make it worse.
And next thing you know, it's a fucking tragedy. And later on, it's like, why the fuck did I do that?
Yes.
Why didn't someone just grab me and fucking hold me down and say, no,
no,
thou shall not pass.
Hold.
So there was that.
Yes.
There was the great ceiling flood.
Oh, yeah.
In which you wake up at, what, 2 a.m. or something?
Thought you'd to wet dripping,
the and next thing you know, the fucking water's flooding through the light, and we've got a wheelie bin on the bed, getting liters of water, and had to sleep in the lounge room for about 8 weeks because
nothing would dry.
The room was fucked.
Yep,
and getting someone, like post-COVID, would have been post-COVID.
Yeah, it was.
To do work like handyman work, building work, repair work was
builders were millionaires.
Hard. Yeah, like they didn't want to do little jobs.
No.
They were building a house. Like they were correct. Getting the coin to their credit. So, you know, you've got kind of that going on. It's like just – it's been some strange – I mean, there was one night I remember we had – it wasn't New Year's Eve. It might have been one of our Boxing Day cricket matches towards the end, or Boxing Day get-together with our school year, you know, with that kind of core half a dozen people or whatever. And I remember I came back and I was in a cab and there was Grant Howe, who was a – one of our sole guest stars from many, many years ago, back in the 60s.
Back in the 60s.
Probably, actually, he would have been maybe the 50s or the 40s.
Probably, yeah, because he was via the Skype.
Mm. So, but we turned up here at whatever time, and I've jumped out of the cab, and I've just looked over at the front door, and the front door's wide open at like 1 or 2 in the morning.
Oh, that's never a good feeling.
And I've gone, fuck.
Because that does speak to the core of one of your key fears.
Oh, yeah, I have a real home invasion phobia. Yeah, it's a. I said one of my biggest fears is just waking up to find someone standing in the bedroom, and then you're
vigorously
just like,
masturbating.
Yeah, vigorously, like a 14-year-old boy that just discovered boobs.
Yeah. Like not normally, yep. Like really going at it.
That's it.
With in anger,
slap it, Terry.
Going at it in anger,
but just to wake up and just find out someone's just fucking staring at you, and you have that moment of. That's it. I'm fucking done.
Mm.
Like that's a shit feeling. But strangely enough, there's a new Strangers movie coming out soon. You know the movie The Strangers, where great horror movie series.
Okay,
the first one was spectacular, in which there's a couple in a cabin. I think they've just rented it for the weekend or something. But it's not a cabin smack in the middle of the woods. It's like in a sparse suburb, I guess. Okay. But it's bush region and stuff. So
sure.
You haven't got someone like right next to you, but you might have a neighbour across the street. Couple of houses up.
Up in the Catskill somewhere.
Yeah. So they're there, romantic sort of, you know, weekend, getting a bit of sexy time away. They come, and they're settled in. They've opened a bottle of wine.
Slapping the best part.
Yeah, pretty much. I think there's a bit of music, bit of wine.
Yep.
And next thing, there's a knock at the door.
Okay.
So they go to answer the door.
Yes.
There's a girl, probably late teens, early 20s maybe, says, hi, is Tamara there? I said, nah, sorry, you got the wrong number.
Wrong house.
Yes. Yeah. Not wrong fucking number. Wrong house. You know, there's no tomorrow here. And she just randomly walks off. And they're like, fuck, that was weird.
Odd.
Anyway, so they're back in. Next thing, there's another knock at the door.
Oh, shit. Sound effects.
And they go,
theater of the mind.
They go to the door again, and it's the same girl. She says, is tomorrow here? Like, no, there's no tomorrow here.
Deja vu.
Next thing, they've got someone just staring at the house across the road. And then suddenly, while that's happening, suddenly there's a knock at the back door.
Look for tomorrow.
And then before you know it, they're going, what the fuck is going on? And then you see someone actually in the house walk behind them when they're not looking to another room.
Oh, fuck.
And then it's just fucking on. And spoilers, doesn't end well. But it's an old movie now. I mean, this will be quite 15-plus years old movie.
Okay, back in the teens.
So, but it actually works out. One of the things that was great about it was that they're tied to a couple of chairs and there's three or four of them there and they got masks on and it's just like, they're like, why the fuck are you doing this to us?
Because tomorrow's a bitch.
Or that, yeah, or that too. But they just said, because you're home.
Oh.
And it's like there was no fucking reason for it whatsoever. It's like they've just walked around and gone, oh, there's a light on there.
Oh, but we're not home. It's not our home.
It's just fucking, it's just shit. And the knocking of the
and
doors.
You kept watching.
Yeah, the knocking of the doors and the windows is one of those where it actually hits you at different speakers. And when I watched it the first time.
Did you sleep for a
week? I had to go around and do a door check. but it's a great movie. I owned it on DVD.
Of course you did.
And there was a sequel to it. And now there's a new trilogy they're doing. And it's the same scenario. And
is Macaulay Culkin in one of them?
No, he's not.
Fuck, that'd be so good.
Yeah.
As a serious actor, grown up man, Macaulay Culkin doing an alone.
Like an unofficial, like a homage to it, but not actually a Home Alone movie.
Not a Home Alone movie.
No.
This series
not playing
of.
Playing on it.
But just, that's not the actor you expected to see, Home Alone.
Yep.
And
it works so well.
Or, why are you doing this? Because you were home alone. Oh, fucking, a theater would erupt over that.
That'd be spectacular.
Like if that's the only reference to it, because you were home alone.
Yeah. I'll be fucking brilliant.
I'd love
brilliant. Get him on. Get our management onto him. Oh, let's do it.
Give an idea as well.
We've got one line. We can construct the whole movie around that.
One line, one actor. That's all I need.
But yes, so we've turned up, front door's open.
Mm.
And I've gone.
You go, Harry.
And I said, Albert, do you mind just stepping with me here for a minute? I said, that's not good.
Mm.
So anyway, walked in the house, going around. No one was here. Nothing was missing.
Now, how did you enter the house?
Front door.
No, but timidly?
Oh, yeah, no. It was a very hesitant approach.
See, when we got broken into when we were living in Melbourne in 2000.
I forgot that happened to you.
Within a couple of months of us being in the house, because there was construction sites everywhere. So no one was not expecting to hear loud noises. So someone
just
broke
got
in.
Girls everywhere just looking for tomorrow.
Woo, tomorrow. And so, but it happened during the middle of the day. Tradies pulled up, a ute has pulled up to the side fence,
yep.
Taken off a couple of panels, walked into our back thing. No one's, because you've got tradies on roofs and power tools going.
And also, if you look like you're meant to be there, no one questions
you. So we came home. And I've seen, walked in the front door, and I've seen that things are not how they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said to Amy, go to Ray's, we've been broken into, and I stormed into the house.
Yeah, but you've done this before.
I stormed in with rage, like, fucking come on.
Yeah, you have a side of you that's fucking bizarre. And I don't know where it comes from, other than the fact that it's maybe the engine.
I think what
but
it is.
Most people have that fight or flight.
Yeah, I am a fight person.
You're fight, yeah. Like, and I wouldn't.
I'm not a fighter.
Knowing you, I wouldn't expect you to instantly have that reaction.
No.
Like, it's an automatic thing with you. You don't think about it.
No.
It's just bang done.
I don't know what would happen if someone was there. I'd probably just clutch my pearls, wet myself, and say, I'm sorry. But my instinct is to confront whatever's there. Yep.
You know how you do, though, just to fuck people up. Mm-hmm. It's been the best thing. If you could actually get to a point of, so someone was there, right?
Yes.
You fucking walked in. So, okay,
come on, come.
Here, fucking come on.
Yeah.
You're in my fucking house now, cunt.
Exactly.
And you do that, and then there is someone there,
yep.
And your mum, it's like, fuck. Then you go, okay, it's fucking on. You can start taking all your clothes off. Let's fucking go.
Like, start masturbating vigorously. Just call me Sean. Terry. Just call me Terry.
So there's that. I mean, that could work.
I tell you what, that would freak the fuck out of someone. Just drop trowel, grab it and say, yeah, come on.
It's kind of.
Call me Terry.
I mean, the most fierce criminal on the planet. It's going to be put off by that.
They would take a minute.
Yeah, they would.
Just go, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, that's the situation where you've got a criminal.
Yes.
Who probably gets out their mobile phone to film it. And goes, yeah, fucking, go my on. Mates have to see this.
I give up, buddy. I don't know what's coming next, but I've never seen this shit before. I'm willing to fight you.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. But this, you've exposed yourself in anger.
Isn't that a song?
Expose yourself in anger. I heard Oasis. Him say, Oasis?
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me.
I think that's a lie. Don't expose yourself in anger. Yeah, just walk away.
Rick Price.
Anyway, so we've walked in the house.
Yeah.
Not like that. Mm. Not like that at all. Nothing's out. You know, like, because when you walk in the house, the first thing you would see on the right is my lounge room.
Yeah.
And that's where I've got the, you know, TV and the fucking movies and valuables. The DVD player. The stuff that if you're going to get shit to sell, that's the shit you grab when you're at the front door.
Correct.
Nothing looked moved at all.
Yep.
So we did a run through, you know, and that was fine.
they had alphabetized your DVDs. You hadn't noticed.
Fuck, that'd be funny. People who don't go around stealing anything, they just alphabetize.
Just go in and alphabetize albums, DVD collections, yeah. Just leave again.
Yeah, what a great thing to do. What a gift.
Fuck, it'd be annoying though, wouldn't it?
So what I discovered though was that the front door in different weather will swell and so forth, and unless you actually give it an extra little nudge, it won't actually latch in.
Oh, it'll close but not latch.
Yeah, so what will happen is the door itself can open. And I've had it myself of a nighttime, like my housemate Hannah. I had to keep reminding him, make sure when you close the front door,
put your elbow into
just give it a push and hear it click.
Yep.
because I've had a couple of times where I'll be lying in bed and I'd suddenly just hear this little bit of a kind of an unclick.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm like, Hannah, I reckon. And I've got out of bed watching, and there's the front door half open.
And then you there's a thousand things that go through your mind. Oh,
fucking hell.
Because Cyclone Hannah can't close a fucking door.
So what we have is actually a little, which you'll notice is a little snib latch.
Yep.
Which is handy because you always, whenever I lock the door overnight, I'll always slide that across. So just in case it doesn't click, it's not going to open.
Sure.
So, and then you'd have to be very unlucky for someone to walk up and go, oh, this isn't quite, oh, I reckon I'm going to snib lock. I'm going to go in and alphabeticalize this list while I got a chance.
Or alphabetize.
Alphabetize. I know, but I'm trying to come up with a longer version of it that makes
alphabetical
sense.
Alphabetical sizing.
We'll just go with yours.
Put it in alphabetical order.
Yeah, fantastic. Done. Yeah, so was that. There was the mystery explosion.
Yes.
There was the one where I was there, was it one morning? And I heard something go fucking bang.
Mm.
What the fuck's that? And I thought, oh, it's a clothes horse in the laundry. Sometimes it slips on wheels. And
sure, yeah.
Gone out, it's in a position, it's upright, it's where it should be. Thought, it's not that. But I don't know what it is. The little shelf in the bathroom in the shower. It's one of those suction cups.
Oh, yeah.
Every now and then, every month or so, if you don't give it a little push to re-suction it, it'll fall down. You know, a shampoo container. And you'll go in there and it'll be in the bath.
And the bath's pretty echoey.
Yeah. So gone in there. It's where it should be.
Shit.
I even wanted into Hannah's bedroom to masturbate furiously. No. Did you see if anything had fallen over? Maybe the window was open. I'm like, no, nothing out of place. Nothing in her bathroom that was weird, like nothing had fallen down and broken. I'm like, maybe I was, you know, when you're kind of half asleep.
You kind of dream,
and you wake up and you think you heard something.
Yes.
You didn't, or I thought maybe there was a sound up the street and I half heard it in that state. Anyway, so left it alone, just imagining things.
Sure.
But now later I thought, you know, I might go and grab a drink, a bit thirsty. So I've gone to the fridge. There's a Pepsi Max can exploded completely
in the freezer.
Because that was when the fridge
turned into a freezer.
It decided to identify itself as a freezer.
It didn't identify. It fucking became one. It had the surgery.
So that was the bang.
Yeah.
And there was just shit in there fucking
frozen
everywhere.
Pepsi up the wazoo.
Oh, my God. But luckily, it gave me a chance then to take everything else that had frozen out of the fridge.
Yes.
Before that also went bang.
Correct, because they were probably close.
Oh, yeah. And we also, and the one that I think needs to be mentioned is how many people whilst living in a house have had rats living in the tree outside their bedroom door or their bedroom window?
Yes.
Because that was bizarre.
End up the chimney. Didn't you have some
the
old chimney?
There's been some scatterings and like some, you know, scratchings and that.
Possums and stuff. Yeah.
So I never worked out whether it was just a possum in the roof or whether it was like rodents or mice or, you know, it's just because it's one of those butterfly roofs.
Yeah.
You haven't got a big space up there. You can't just get in and check it out easily.
Yeah.
Because it's more a flat roof.
Because that's you getting up high and checking something.
That too. Heights aren't good. No, we don't do that. So, you know, the fact that we had a family of rats living just in a tree out the front. I mean,
awesome.
That was fun. So it's been some good stuff going on.
What was the one that you had when you were standing at the toilet and you thought there was someone behind you? There was a mechanical sound and it was sounded like a fax machine.
Oh, yes. What was that?
I can't remember. It was something from Hannah's room.
Was it Hannah's room or was it? Oh, no, that's what it was. It was a printer
that
Hannah had.
Yes.
And it was actually, it was inking itself.
Yeah, it was just going through a cleaning cycle.
Yeah. And I'm there and I'm standing in the toilet.
You're thinking you're being attacked
and
by garlics.
I've heard this fucking Cyberman noise. And it wasn't a noise that I recognised in the house. It shouldn't have been there.
No.
And I'm just like, what the fuck is that?
Yes.
And I had that moment. See, I'm not the fight. I'm the flight.
Yes.
But I'm not the flight as in I fucking run out of the house.
No.
I'm the flight as in I stand there, I go through everything in my head.
And all the worst case scenarios.
Again. Exactly. It was one of the most bizarre things. Until I worked out, it was just this fucking printer that Hannah had bought.
Which is the very reason why I put that sound emulator in because I genuinely thought that that would be something that would drive you bonkers.
Look, I am so disappointed that didn't work.
I am disappointed.
Just to get that little cheap every now and then.
That would have been hilarious.
So, but we are going to use it for someone else.
Perfect.
And I'll let you know whether it works.
You just got to make sure when you place it, you'll have time.
Yes.
To make sure that it is set.
You were rushed.
I was very fucking rushed.
Because there's no way knowing, because I was out the front having a cigarette. You told me you were going to the toilet.
Yep.
There's no way knowing you had time to go in and plant that and masturbate furiously like Terry.
No.
In that, you know, like 1 minute.
No.
I mean, not even you were that quick.
No, not that quick.
No. I mean, your wife says you are pretty quick.
Maybe 15 years ago I could have, but not now.
So that was disappointing.
Mm.
But we'll wait and see. But that's, that was the little, I don't know, memory lane, I guess.
Mm.
The fun stuff that happened. I mean, we had a live musician for the birthday in the backyard. That was fun.
We did. Mind you, we did have one podcast episode where you were still living here. We recorded together at a gym.
Yeah, we did.
During the,
because the power was off.
The power outage. Yeah.
And we thought, what can we do? And I think I might have put it on Facebook or something, if anyone's got a spare room.
Yes.
And someone said, well, our gym's free.
Yeah.
We're going, okay. All right. We'll do that.
Because we're both well adverse to what happens in a gym.
A gym.
A gym.
You know, it's really funny. The episode last week,
mm.
you mentioned that, you know, you walked through the gym.
Yes.
But we didn't actually explain to anyone what the gym was. And as I'm listening, I'm thinking, have actually people picked up that it is a gym and we're just saying it weirdly?
Well,
or more the point, you were.
Well, the thing is, but that's not me. That's Homer Simpson.
Yes. Homer, you haven't invented it.
No, it's Homer Simpson. Mm. There's an episode where he meets Arnold Schwarzenegger and he wants to get buff like Arnie, I think. And he goes, gym, all night gym. And then just keeps, and for whatever reason, that's one of the 20-something years of Simpsons that's stuck in my head.
Yep.
Actually, I think it's almost 30 years, isn't it?
Oh, something like that.
Mm.
Crazy.
Crazy.
I think the Simpsons actually started just post-World War II.
Now, before my voice goes completely on me.
You have stories to tell.
Well, not many stories. This weekend, I've just come back from Hobart. The kids had a scouting adventure.
Was it warm down in Hobart?
Fucking oath it was. Unseasonably warm for Tassie.
Did it kick over the 30?
33, I think, is what we ticked over.
It's warm for Tassie.
Yeah, so we were there for the 59th annual scouting regatta in Snug. And it's a lovely part of the world.
One of the cutest names for a town.
Isn't it?
Ever.
Snug.
Why wouldn't you want to go there?
Fucking, you know what, Rodies? If you live in Tassie and you go down to Hobart, go to Snug, go to the beach. It is an absolute corker. There's a little bay there, and that's why we choose it, because that's a safe place for the scouts to do all their water activities. We camp on the football ground. The local footy club let us use their football ground. And there's floodlights, so we can actually have a well-lit area and you're not trouncing around in the dark.
So you haven't got far to go to the beach then?
No, I thought it was quite some distance. I could throw a tennis ball from where I camped to the water.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's a small service road. And then you know how they've got where you park up, they've got those wooden parking barriers that they make out of the circular pine or whatever?
Yep.
They've got those.
You see them everywhere once back in the day.
Back in the day. And then you've got the little track that goes from there onto the beach, and then you've got water.
Yeah, right.
So like a service road. And I think the football ground's got a fence, like a proper.
Yep. And it wouldn't be a busy road, I would say.
Well, no, you have to be going down to basically that sort of area to get there.
Yeah, okay.
But you have to go into sort of the football ground area. So no one else came down there.
Yep.
There's a local caravan park close by, but this is all it is. And it was absolutely just the best of days, 34 degrees or 33 degrees. But a couple of things happened on regatta, which was just wonderful. Now, I'm almost ticking over 50 years of age, and I thought my road of self-discovery and learning something new about myself had finished or wasn't going to happen so much. I found out something about myself during regatta that I was very surprised at.
Are you a flat earther now?
No.
Oh, gosh.
I was very pleased at. I took great pride in. But there was this moment of self-reflection and I'm like, fuck, that's part of who I am. That's me. I'll give you the answer that I came up with.
Right.
And then you need.
It's like Jeopardy.
Yeah. And then you need to give me.
I'll take epiphanies when you least expect it for 400. Thanks, Joe.
Exactly. So I'll give you my answer. And then you need to tell me what the question was.
Oh, God. Okay, right, eh?
So the answer is 27 and a half metres.
Fuck. 27 and a half metres.
27 and a half metres is the answer that I came up with.
Righto. Cool. So the question.
Yes.
I mean, obviously.
Obviously.
Is.
Yes.
If I could find the perfect truck, I'd be a truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what that is. 27 and a half metres. Are you a truck driver now?
No.
Oh, right. No. Okay. Right,
I'll give you five guesses because this could be a very long game.
Yeah, no, it could be a very long game.
Yep.
Okay, we'll go with I love whales.
Yes.
Wonder how long that dead one is over there on the beach.
Good guess.
Not 27 and a half metres.
Not the answer.
Right, okay.
Not the question that I asked.
Yep, okay.
Two down.
I
took pride in it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. No, I don't tell many people this, but I'm actually a really huge fan of the Human Centipede movie trilogy. And I wonder if I put...
How many scouts in rows?
If I put 33 scouts together...
How long that would be? Once again...
27 and a half metres.
Great question. Not accurate. And not the question that I ended up answering.
I mean, you know,
you're close though.
Because in the movie, the person responsible for the human centipede, of the whole sewing ass to mouth and making it one human digestive system.
Centipede.
Show great pride.
Yeah, as you would.
Great pride.
Mm.
Right, we've got two questions left, haven't we?
I did tell quite a lot of people about my 27 and a half metres.
Cool. If I sew together four trampoline mats and set up an entire new system, I wonder how high I could actually jump.
Ooh, fucking that would be a great question to ask. I'd be
27 and a half metres.
I'd be happy with that answer. It's not the one that I ended up asking.
Okay. Okay, sound cool. Right. I've decided, kids, that I'm going to set up a homemade bungee jumping cord for all of us here this weekend.
Yes. Of what I can find in the bin.
And I've just found a lot of rope and hockey straps.
Yes.
And I can make up one size, 27 and a half metres.
That probably would have got me a badge in scouting, the hockey strap badge, but no. The question that I answered, Mr. Barnes, is how far can I throw a size 8 Blunston gumboot?
This is ever bloody throwing competition.
We had a Blunston boot throwing competition.
I tell you what, that shit gets serious.
And I won the over 26 section.
With distance or age?
The age group that I competed in is over 26.
Right.
So you have under 13, under 15, under 18, under 26,
jeez, you're
over 26. Well, because you've got young scouts.
Yep.
Scouts.
I suppose a couple of years rovers, too.
Leaders.
That's a fair bit of strength growth.
Correct.
So, yeah, you're right.
You do need to kind of break it up.
Yeah. Just bloody throw them. It's serious business.
Now, I'm not going to tell you that it might be an unofficial world record.
Okay.
Because it's not.
Right. Yeah, tell me, what is the actual record for bloody throwing?
The actual world record as recognised by the Guinness World Records.
And I'm assuming, do they have to stick to the same size shoe all the time, the same size boot?
Well, this one was using...
Because a small one's going to be lighter, carry further or not as far. Also...
I had a headwind as well.
Yeah,
so.
Also, steel cap or not, because that changes the whole way the boot flows, mate.
Correct, exactly.
Gotta be serious about these things.
The first world record thrown, recognised by the Guinness World Records, was 52.73 metres, set by Tony Rogers UK in 1978.
UK? Not even Australian.
Not even Australian, using a size 8 Dunlop Challenger boot.
Okay, so it wasn't a blunny, right?
Well, they call it, it's It's actually got a name. It's called welly throwing, also known as welly hoeing, welly wagging, or boot throwing, right? Apparently, it originated in the West County of England in the 1970s.
Does sound very English with Wellington boots.
And became very popular in fates and all that kind of stuff. Depending on local customs, different good rules apply.
Easy thing to organise a local show.
Yeah. So in Somerset in the UK, the boot is filled with water before they're being thrown. Some competitions allow a run-up, some don't.
What if you could do like the shot put spin?
Well, that, I believe...
Oh, no, hammer throw spin.
I believe that's part of what gets you the world record. Right. In Welbury, North Yorkshire, the size of the boot must be large enough to comfortably fit the foot of the thrower.
Okay.
So you can wear it. You can throw any boot you want, but you have to be able to wear that boot.
You're right.
Which seems reasonable.
Interesting technicality.
The current world record set by Teppo Lumo of Finland in 1966. Fuck me. 63.98 metres.
Wow.
I am well and truly short.
Yeah, but also, mate, I mean, you haven't had any training yet.
I went in cold.
Yeah.
I did get
trapped. Did you even stretch? Did you do a few stretches?
Didn't even. I did go with the DK Lilly style of throw.
Yeah, okay.
Short run up, though.
Yep, straight over arm.
Oh, it was more of a side toss.
Righto, yep.
I did get beaten by a 19-year-old who threw it 35 and plus metres.
Okay, yeah, but luckily.
He had teenage rage.
Not in your age group.
Not in my age group, so he doesn't get. Because they did say, well, why doesn't he get both? I said, because as you get older, you lose your strength. And I'm an old man. I mean, look at me. I'm basically one foot in the grave.
Yeah, that's how I see it.
I tried to get our local scouting group across the line in the tug of war. Mm-hmm. Adults aren't allowed to compete. But I did suggest to them that...
Was the rope 27.5 metres?
No, it wasn't. Okay. But I said to them, look at every other sport where someone is showing aggression, whether or not it's judo, karate, tennis... box, like they all, they yell, like, come on.
Yeah.
I said, so as soon as we get ready, set,
in a motivation,
go, we've got to yell. And they said, yep, we're in.
Have you seen the All Blacks?
Correct. Look, you can hear my voice. I didn't let the side down.
Oh, this is why you're croaky.
The under 15s certainly did. They don't have croaky voices like I did. I couldn't yell them across the line. But there was things like the slippery pole where you had two people trying to push each other off the pole and whatever. Yep. But the biggest thing happened on the weekend on Sunday.
Right. Bigger than the 27.5 metres.
It was only 3.5 metres.
Right.
It was a shark.
Really?
So we had to evacuate the water.
3.5 metres, that's still a fairly decent fish.
Allegedly. We didn't have flake for lunch.
No?
It was seen in the bay, not seen by any of the actual scouting. But right. We had multiple drones going across. We had Tasmanian police come out. We had various patrol boats.
That's actually pretty cool.
With adults on the water, sort of making sure there was nothing there. And then we changed our program so there wasn't as many swimming activities. It was all kayaking or sailing or paddling and all that kind of stuff. Yep. And the slippery pole, we went to the local scout thing and they've got a massive big swimming pool. So we moved the slippery pole on land. Sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, so we modified a couple of activities.
Well, but, I mean, even though the odds are probably very slim something could happen, you don't want to have prior knowledge.
No, and do nothing.
And then find that, oh,
oops,
Johnny lost a leg. Yeah. Soz.
Johnny can't run away, yeah, run
and,
away.
And they'd be like, does anyone aware that there was a shark in the area? Well, kind of.
Well, they even said this. They said, look, here's what we've done. We've done half a dozen drone passes. We've had surf life saving out there. We've got our own marshals out there. We've been told by Tasmanian police that it should be okay, but it is up to you whether or not you put kids on the water, and it's up to you whether or not you contact the parents and see if it's okay. I'm like, send mine in. I'm burly.
I've got two.
If
you lose one, oh well.
Never mind. But that cleared the beach pretty quickly of 250 scouts.
Well, I tell you, I'm...
And then the amount of stories of, I saw it.
Yeah, like, I've never had an issue with sharks. Like, I'm not worried about sharks.
No.
I know they're about.
Yes.
Like, they just are.
But if you stay on land, it's no problem.
Exactly. It's incredibly rare that something is going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things. I mean, it's not even... I mean, it's like, I'm aware that people drive like shit sometimes.
Yes.
And when I go on the road, there's a chance that I might be involved in a car accident.
Correct.
But I don't let it stop me driving.
No. And the reality of it is...
It's the reason why they call me Mad Max, but I mean...
Fury Road. But the reality of it is, it's very unlikely that a shark will go to an area where there's like 300 people in the water with various boats,
yeah,
you know, motors, propeller engines and all that kind of stuff, looking for something to eat. That's not an easy, unless, not an easy meal.
Unless your name is Jaws.
Correct. If it's Bruce, then maybe. You know, but we weren't at Amityville or wherever it was.
Yeah, Amityville.
Yeah. So there we go, roadies. This has been the very last episode from Studio 1B.
Yeah. Don't know where we'll end up next.
It's a mystery. Mind you,
though, the plan is, depending on what humble abode I end up in next, that if we have a spare room, we'll actually have a designated recording area.
Or
not just setting up in a lounge and doing all our gear, something that stays going.
If not, we could be the Swag Road Boys.
We could be. Fucking nothing will stop us.
Nothing. I'm sorry, but nothing will stop us. Like, we cannot be stopped. Anyway, roadies, on that, I am Joe.
I am Troy.
And we are the South Road Boys.
We certainly are.
Au revoir.